One of the strong first impressions that people often have when attending an Orthodox service for the first time is that we sure pray, Lord, have mercy, a whole lot. And it really is true if you think about it. We pray, Lord, have mercy, quite a lot. When it gets to the time of Great Lent, the equation changes somewhat dramatically because now we go from praying it a lot to praying it incessantly. You can come to one of the Lenten services such as Great Compline and you find not only do we have the normal Lord have mercies as refrains, but you have these various sets of Lord have mercy 40 times in a row. And this comes up not just once, but several times. We pray 40 Lord have mercies in succession. For the uninitiated, it can seem a little surprising, maybe even leading them to erroneous conclusions as to why are we doing this and what is this all about? But certainly, for us, we need to remember that repentance is never a one-time act. Repentance is not something that only takes place at our conversion to Christ. That repentance is an ongoing process. It is our very way of life as Orthodox Christians. And repentance is, in fact, something that is addressing our hearts, softening our hearts. Repentance is leading us on the steps of humility that we must all walk. We pray, Lord, have mercy. And some could look at that and say, well, surely they don't think the Lord is very merciful because they're begging and pleading him all the time to be merciful. No, not quite. It's not that at all. But quite to the contrary, we pray, Lord, have mercy, because we recognize that indeed God is merciful. And because of the way we approach God's mercy, the way we understand God's mercy to be all-encompassing, God's mercy includes his love, his grace, his divine help, his care, his nurturance, his comfort. It's all of these things are all wrapped up in the concept of his mercy. And so the prayer is shortened to Lord have mercy because it's just crying out, God, we need you and we need your provision in our lives. Why is repentance so emphasized? Why is it so important? Why is repentance such a focus during this time of Lent? On our Lenten journey, we are considering the steps of repentance that are before us. And essentially, I think there are many reasons we could point to, but this morning I want to point to two reasons that repentance is so important to us as Orthodox Christians. And the first one is because our inner compass is essentially off. It's broken. And because it's broken, our whole approach to life is misguided. We don't have that compass to guide us and keep us on course. And repentance is, in fact, the remedy to a broken compass. It puts us back on course, gets us in the right direction, and going in the right direction once again in our lives. And the second reason is because our hearts become hardened through sin. And because our hearts are hardened through sin, we need to soften our hearts because a hard heart is always a detriment to our spiritual life. Ultimately, I would say to any relationship that we have, if we have a hard heart, it is essentially going to be a detriment. And repentance is the remedy for a hard heart. It penetrates the tough exterior that we've put on our heart, and it reaches deep into the heart and softens it once again by the waters of the grace of God. But it's also important to consider why we don't pursue repentance. And I do want to call attention to a couple of things that are not essentially the reasons why we repent, because they very often can be a prevalent idea in people's minds. It's a negative motivation that they are operating from. Certainly all of us know the reality that negative motivations sometimes work, but essentially our life should not be governed by negative motivations, only doing things because if I don't do this, something really bad is going to happen to me and I have to follow through. It works for a time, but in maturity and certainly in our relationship with God, it shouldn't be based only on negative motivations. One of those things is this idea that God is unfavorable towards us, that we need to somehow change God's mind because he is unfavorable, because he is harsh towards us, he is quick to judge us, to turn us to toast, so to speak, and to turn back the fires of judgment, we have to pursue repentance and pursue it diligently. Because we're going to change God's heart towards us, God's mind towards us, and soften his approach towards us. So we'll turn aside from his wrath, and he'll be merciful towards us. But essentially, I think this is a misguided approach. It has elements that are not even true, that enter into that whole motivation. We need to remember that mercy is not our idea, but in fact God's idea. We need to hold on to that fact that God is love, that God is the one who forgives, that God is in fact the merciful God, and it is his very character. It's his nature to be merciful. We don't have to ask God to be merciful because of his side of the equation that he is unmerciful, you see. He already is merciful. Mercy is his idea. God loves, forgives, is merciful, and repentance is not about changing God's heart or changing God's mind at all. Repentance is about changing our heart and our mind. It's not about changing God, it's about changing us. So we need to keep that in mind. Another reason that we don't embrace repentance, essentially, it's not the best reason, but it is often a reason that people do, is because fear of what will happen if I don't do this. We adopt a mindset that our repentance is somehow on this scale in heaven, and our sins are on one side of the scale, and our repentance is on the other side of the scale. And if we don't adequately and thoroughly and completely repent of every sin I've ever committed that's on this side of the scale will tip on the side of my sins, and I'm really going to be in trouble on the day of judgment. So it's essentially based upon a fear and a misunderstanding about how God approaches us as sinful individuals, that somehow if we forget or we don't know one of our sins, we're in trouble. And so we diligently pursue repentance to try to overcompensate for the fact maybe we've forgotten something. If that's our approach, it's a misguided one. It's not why we ultimately should be pursuing repentance. Because if we think about this from the ultimate scale of things, the perspective that God has on our lives, the truth be told, we are always going to be, always have been, unaware of a whole truckload of sins that all of us are guilty of. There are always things beneath the surface of our hearts and our minds, things that motivate us that we're unaware of. How can we repent of the things that we don't even know exist? We can't. We can only repent of the things that we have knowledge of. And so surely it's not because of a scale that our repentance has to balance out our sins and cancel out the sins that have been committed. It's right to have an inventory of our sins to understand where we are, what we're doing, what our weaknesses are. That part is important, but not to repent so that the repentance somehow cancels it out and I'm going to be clear and free on the day of judgment. No, our sins always outweigh our ability to repent. What we're doing in our repentance is not canceling out our sins, but ultimately what we're doing in repentance is we're casting ourselves to the mercy of God completely, headlong, because we recognize that our sins outweigh our repentance, and our repentance is throwing ourselves to the mercy of God, which is our only hope, you see. So why is it that we essentially repent? What are those positive motivations that we should be considering when we pursue repentance? The first one is our inner compass is essentially broken. Our own internal system has become misguided. And we recognize how a compass is supposed to point north, but for us, it's as if our compass points any direction but north. Sin distorts our perspective of the world. It colors our vision of the world. It affects our emotions and our inner disposition. And all of that has an ultimate effect upon the direction that our life takes. We recognize that if somebody becomes lost in the wilderness, a compass is a useful tool, a necessary tool. But what happens if that person doesn't have a compass when they're lost in the wilderness? Well, the strategy is to make a straight line and journey on that straight line, because you'll get to somebody that can help you eventually. But by just turning to the right and to the left, you find yourself going in circles. So the strategy is to go in a straight line. But if a person doesn't have a compass, what happens? That straight line is very often altered considerably. The person doesn't intend to not walk that straight line. They have a full intention. They're motivated. Self-preservation is on their minds. They're motivated. They want to walk the straight line. They don't want to turn to the right and to the left. But there's obstacles and distractions. There's impassable cliffs, a river, whatever that's in the way that causes the person to have to make turns and adjust the course. And in those little adjustments that are made along the way, what happens? They essentially get off course. They turn the wrong direction, and many times people find that they have gone in a big circle, wasting precious time and energy. How true that is as an image of our spiritual life when we are not on course. We are just in the wilderness, spinning in circles, going nowhere, thinking we're spending all this energy, all this time, and essentially not reaching our destination. So we need to recognize that repentance is that remedy to the broken compass or the missing compass. Repentance is that process by which we change our whole orientation that is in our hearts and our minds and our lives. Our orientation changes to become heavenward. And we recognize how the ventures of sin have led us on an earthly path to embrace earthly priorities and standards. And we're capable of justifying all of our behaviors based upon worldly wisdom. But the problem is worldly wisdom is no wisdom at all. And repentance cuts through all of that and reminds us we need to correct our aim. We are misguided. We're in the wrong direction. We need to set our course proper once again. The word sin comes from the realm of archery, and it literally has to do with missing the mark, missing the target. You make the shot and it misses. That's sin. And why is it that the arrow misses the target? I mean, it's not because an outside force acts upon the arrow when it's in transit from the archer to the target. Yes, wind could be a factor, perhaps, but essentially that's not the main reason that arrow misses the target. The main reason the arrow misses the target has everything to do with the aim of the archer. It starts from its starting point. And so we have to understand repentance is going back to that starting point and taking better aim of what is the target. For us, the target is Christ, the kingdom of heaven, and we have to have better aim of that goal, that target. Repentance is a correction of our aim, having our inner compass adjusted heavenward. It helps us to set the proper priorities in our life. It reminds us that our life is to pursue the kingdom of heaven. It reminds us that the one thing that is needful in my life is to seek after Christ. So we adjust our aim and we do the things that are essential, the things that keep us on course. We pray, we fast, we give alms, we read the scriptures and meditate upon them because these things are helping us stay on course. See, repentance is prioritizing our time as well so that the activities that we embark upon, those activities are in fact keeping us on course to the kingdom of heaven. Keep us on course directed towards Christ. See, we need to pursue repentance because our inner compass is broken and it needs to be readjusted heavenward towards Christ. There's also a second reason that we need to pursue repentance, and that is because our hearts become hard through sin. Sin has a negative impact upon our hearts. Our hearts begin to harden. And that's always going to be a negative thing when our heart is hard. A heart that is hard is always going to be an obstacle in the way of Christ working in our life, in the way of us knowing Christ with the depth that we could know him. And repentance is essentially the remedy for a hard heart. Repentance softens our heart. Repentance gets under the surface of the heart and gets in the soil of the heart that's under there. And it turns it over once again. So it's receptive to the waters of life that Christ brings to us. The seed of the Word of God can be planted in our heart because it's been turned over once again through repentance. Repentance changes our attitudes and our disposition. We need to remember that repentance is about changing us, not changing God. And this is how repentance begins to change us. It softens our heart so that we're receptive to the reality of God in our life and the need of God in our life. When our heart grows hard, it negatively impacts us. Rather than growing closer to God, we grow further apart. We grow further apart from the people that are in our lives. Rather than interacting with individuals with godliness, with love, with kindness, we start to become self-centered. We become selfish, insisting on our way all the time. We become callous towards people's needs, to people's hurts, their feelings, their suffering. It's not a good thing. And repentance is acknowledging how we have become hard, how we have become insensitive, how we have become uncaring. It causes us to look at the inner attitudes of the heart, the state of the heart. And essentially, repentance calls us to humble ourselves before God, acknowledging that we are off course, that our heart is hard, and we need his grace in our life to soften our heart once again. We need to humbly pray, Lord, have mercy on me, because I recognize the state of my heart. We humble ourselves and we bow, we prostrate. All of these things are ways that we embrace repentance and our heart begins to soften. And repentance, it reaches into the deep and the dark places of the heart. And by doing that, by reaching into those deep and dark places, we give the ability for grace to flow to those deep and dark places of the heart. It's living waters to our soul. It comes to those hardened places and begins to soften them once again. So repentance is absolutely necessary because our hearts really do depend upon it. Great Lent is this focused time where we can pursue repentance together, all on the same journey of repentance. And it helps us. It helps us to do this together. We draw strength from one another because we're all in the same boat, recognizing some of the same things, essentially, about our lives. All of us struggling to make the changes that we need to in our lives. And so this focus on repentance during this time helps us in that process of addressing our hearts. Repentance isn't about changing God, but about changing us. Repentance restores our aim and redirects our inner compass heavenward. Repentance softens our heart that has grown hard. Repentance does change us. And so in the days that are ahead, let us take the opportunity that is before us. And let us diligently pursue the path of repentance, the path that is leading us to Christ's glorious death and resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.